but I'll get hungry after a while.
Yeah, that's
and
what I do.
I played your tape yesterday. And of course, I called you to thank you for the tape. Where the hell did you get the thing? From the Army?
I got it from the National Archives in Washington. I went down there, and I screened a bunch of Signal Corps footage. And then I ordered it. I, you know, it cost me a couple hundred bucks, but I thought it was really interesting to cover pretty much some of the same ground that you went over on the raid, right? Just a week later.
About, yeah, somebody, oh, I think my wife was looking over my shoulder and she made a comment. I think it was about 10 days.
Yes.
But who cares, you know?
Okay,
let's say
10 days.
My comments are kind of negative.
Okay.
You know, I look at these guys. And first of all, I never heard of the 14th Armored. Who the hell are they?
Yeah.
They must have come in at the very end.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And Jesus, these guys, they're clean shaven, and their clothes are clean.
Not like you guys, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And
well, they're the bastards that liberated you, so be thankful.
No, the 14th? I thought it was the, what the hell was it?
Now, were you at Mooseburg when you were liberated?
No, I was in Wurzburg.
Oh, you were in the hospital, yeah.
Yeah, right,
yes.
In Wurzburg. That wasn't,
Yeah, that may not have been the 14th. Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was somebody, I don't know who that was.
Okay.
8th or 10th or something.
All the guys that were imprisoned at Mooseburg, They the 14th finally came through there.
Oh, was that who were those Serbs?
Yeah, there were the prisoners in Hamelberg there.
That was Hamelberg?
Yeah, you bet.
Well, I thought all them damn Serbs, because we had some Serbs when I got shot laying in that wherever the hell I was laying. There were some Serbs with me.
You mentioned that they took him off to Wurzburg also.
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, as far as I know, no, there was another lieutenant, I think he was from Arkansas, was with me. He had a busted up leg.
And you told me about his, he went into surgery just before you did, right?
Yeah, they put a damn German doctor put that barrel stave on his leg for traction.
Put it, oh dear.
Which I thought was, well, it's pretty innovative, you know. Some bitch didn't have nothing, so he used a barrel stave.
For a splint, a traction splint.
Yeah, for traction.
I'll be darned.
Then the poor son of a bitch would get back to the American hospitals and they rebroke his leg.
Yeah, that's no good.
Can you imagine going through that? Oh, well, yeah, whatever.
But he was hollering like crazy, you said, when they put that on him. Is that right?
No, he wasn't hollering when they put it on, because, hell, I wouldn't know. When they carted him off, he was kind of hollering about he thought they were going to cut his, you know, decapitated hand.
Oh, he was afraid.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't know what the hell they were going to do to him. And, yeah, they took him before me, so he was scared. And of course, that rubs off on you, but that was weird time.
Yeah.
Weird time, man, weird time.
Uh-huh.
What we've gone through since then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Korea, Vietnam, what else?
Oh, man.
All this fiasco we're going through now, isn't that something?
It's a fiasco, you're absolutely right.
I tell you what it does to me. Of course, I'm too old to mean anything to anybody, but what it does to me is all this political shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And us poor dumb, nothing, runny nose, not those kids are the ones that pay for it.
Yeah.
And something wrong with it. There's just something wrong, man.
Yeah.
I'd go to Canada if I had to do it over again.
Yeah.
I'd say screw it.
You know what? At least you guys had something worth fighting for.
Everything, it was hysteria, really.
Hysteria?
Mass hysteria.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. 98% supportive.
Mm-hmm. You that know, Pearl Harbor just united everybody, didn't
oh,
it?
Oh, shit. Oh, Pearl Harbor and then, yeah, I guess it was what Pearl Harbor started, of course. And then all the rest of it, the Nazi bullshit.
But so you're saying a few of the Serbs escaped with you and tried to break out there at Hollerich, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Because I remember laying there over in wherever the hell I was laying, and I don't know how many, but there was others laying down there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were Serbs because I couldn't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they came from or what the hell they were doing, but when I saw those pictures of all this, I assumed they were sharp. They were dressed pretty good, weren't they? They had nice coats on.
Yeah, they did. They looked well-fed and everything.
Yeah, I wonder where the hell they got those from.
Well, you know, they'd been in there for 4 years, much longer than the Americans, but somehow, you know, they managed pretty well. They had Red Cross packages and...
Yeah, they look pretty good, you know. They're jumping around and dancing.
Yeah. They were happy, man.
I don't remember the Serb from the prison camp, but my contact with the prison camp was abbreviated.
Well, maybe you were laying down in a half track part of the time, huh?
No, I got out of the half track. I got out of the half track when we got to the prison camp.
Yeah.
But, thinking back on the damn thing, Jim, the only thing I can say is, after about 4 days of no sleep and whatever, I was at the end of the rope, man.
I'll bet you were.
That's all I can say. I was just at the end of the rope.
Yeah.
And, when we got that little Panzerfaust in wherever the hell it was, the London or something.
Yeah.
You know, that thing exploded, me and Bomb right there. It exploded right there, actually right at our feet.
It hit the pavement?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was it, man. I just checked it in. Goodbye. I'm out of here, boy. But I figure I lasted more than most guys. I lasted 3 or 4 days, and that was...
There's some phosphorus in the tip of those things, aren't there? You get kind of a flash when that went off?
Yeah, that was definitely an explosion.
Yeah?
Yeah, a boom.
And then you got all kind of full of shrapnel, huh?
I got some, not enough, really. But I got some. And I think Bomb got some, too.
Yeah?
Major Bomb! Boy, he sure got a lot of, you know? I noticed your dedication on that thing.
Hmm.
To Hammerberg and something and Major Bomb. But, Bomb, how's he doing? Have you talked to him lately?
I haven't talked to him lately. No, I know he was at that Washington at that dedication of the war memorial.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
And then he was a special guest at down at that D-Day Museum in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's the one Ambrose helped put together.
Did you?
Ambrose.
Oh, Stephen Ambrose. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the one he ramrodded.
Yeah, well, now they've got a whole bunch of federal money. They're expanding it, and they're, you know, going to make it larger and make a real big deal out of it. I think they're going to call it the National D-Day Museum or something, you know, with some serious government money involved.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. New Orleans, the Higgins boat.
Yeah.
You know, all this bullshit keeps old Bomb going.
It's funny how he thrives off of that, doesn't he? Yeah.
Well, you can't blame him. God damn it, he was with that Fourth Armor from New York on.
You came in a little bit later?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got there at New Year's Eve, man. I'll never forget it. I think it was New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just to glorify Baum. I think one of the... You have got to be the most unrecognized hero of the Hamburg Raid, in my opinion. If anyone should have got the Distinguished Service Cross, it should have been you. You could have laid there in that half track. You were out. And then you get up and you're leading the tanks in the middle of the night on foot. Man,
well,
you must be nuts.
Well,
or the bravest guy I've ever met.
No, bullshit. Jim, listen. To kind of picture it, you're off on your own, right? You ain't got nothing. You're out there in a goddamn boondocks, and you don't know where the hell you are, what you're doing, but you know you got to get out of there. Now, what good am I laying on my ass? You know, I can still move and talk and walk and whatever.
Yeah.
So I say, shit, we got to do something, so let's do it. I mean, you don't have a choice. I mean, I don't see that, really. I don't see that as being a goddamn Spider-Man or Superman or hero. I just see that as doing what you got to do.
How about leadership? How about initiative? Not everybody would have taken those risks, Bill.
Well, I know. You could go down that street, okay? Yeah, you could say that, but I still say, shit, that's the way I am, and I do it all over again, I know. That's just the way I am. I'm a dumb shit.
Bill, this is going to be the greatest damn war movie ever.
You're kidding.
It is. We're on a page 165 now. And it's going to be more than 200 pages. We're including everything. We're going to have to, of course, trim it down. We'll have to edit it later. But there is so much stuff here, and so many interesting little side notes that we've come up with. And
you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I hope, from what you're telling me, you know, you see all these goddamn movies.
I hate most movies these days.
D-Day and Stalag, and you can name them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And The Bridge Too Far, and they all get Hollywood on you.
Yep.
And, you know, I watch all that crap, and it's entertainment, right?
Amazing.
But in the back of my mind, I say, when the hell don't they really? It's like going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell... I'm the Catholic, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I go to church. I go, why the hell don't that dumb shit get up and say, look, you dumb shits, now you gotta stop this fucking around, you know? Why don't they say that? Nobody does.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
With the Hollywood deal, they want to make money, or whatever. But why don't they tell it like, you know, the only thing we really got is that goddamn Bill Maltz. He got close to it.
Oh, yeah.
With his Willie and Joe.
And he got in big trouble with Patton, right?
Well, anybody get in trouble with Patton.
They had a meeting, you know, he called him into his office.
Yeah.
In Luxembourg City and dressed him down, you know. And, he held his ground, though. God bless him.
Maul told him, go fuck
go
off.
Go fuck yourself.
That's what I would have done. I said, screw you, son of a bitch.
Well, Bill, that's one thing about this. We want to show Patton the way he really was, you know. High-pitched voice, squeaky voice, you know.
Yeah.
Screwing his wife's niece.
Right. Right.
And, you know, this was not his greatest moment. And
well,
yet, you know, I love the man. You know, I worship the guy But I see him as a whole human being, not as just some kind of goddamn cardboard hero, you know.
Oh, very complex.
You know what I mean?
Very complex.
He's a complex guy, isn't
very
he?
Very complex. Listen, if I told you, Abrams was a little patch.
Was a little what?
Patch.
Yeah.
Creighton Abrams.
Was he?
Fucker was crazy. Like Patton, he's crazy. He liked fighting. Anybody likes fighting, he's got to be crazy.
Did you come across Creighton Abrams fairly often, or did
Marge once? The son of a bitch was my battalion commander. Are you serious?
You saw him all the time.
No, not too often, but I still have a recollection.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Army bullshit, you don't smoke in tanks, right?
Oh, really?
Well, you're not supposed to.
Uh-huh.
But everybody smokes, you know.
You smoke cigars, right?
Yeah.
And so did he.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm in my tank looking somewhere, and a fucking tank pulls up next to me with a goddamn cigar, and it's Abrams. You know, he's within, what, 20 feet of me.
Uh-huh.
But, Abrams was a little Patton. He liked fighting. And I met another guy who got killed. I think I told you about him. His name was Joe Leach.
Really?
He was L-I-E-S-E or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Prussian.
Hmm.
His grandfather was a goddamn Prussian soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And this dumb shit loved fighting.
He really did, huh?
He loved fighting.
Hmm.
And to me, you got three patents right there. Now, I knew a guy in 8M like that, too. He was a military son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm laying in a hospital in England, and these guys are talking in the bed next to me about this guy, you know, and I listened to him for a while. I said, what is somebody's name? And it was a guy I went to school with.
Hmm.
You know, the Army brat.
Okay.
But you got guys like that. And Patton, of course, was the number one. They're military idiots, is what I call them.
Mm-hmm.
But we need them.
Yeah.
We need them. Custer.
Yeah.
Huh? Grant.
Uh-huh.
You name them.
Yeah.
The Selvages, they couldn't win a golf game, but the Selvages are military idiots.
Do you remember a little boy coming up to you and he wanted to... He wanted you to give him a cigar in Germany on the raid?
I think you mentioned that to me before. They brought that up when you took a trip over there.
Right.
Right?
So we met the kid, you know. He said there was some guy smoking a cigar, and he gave me one.
Did I do it to him?
Yes.
Well, good. Jesus.
It's in the movie.
Huh?
It's in the movie.
I'm just kidding. Well, good. God damn, I'm glad I gave it to him and didn't tell him to, you know.
Well, there's another little boy that came up with a broomstick and pointed it at the tank, and he didn't make out quite so well.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Somebody whopped his ass.
Yeah, you better believe it.
I don't remember either one of them.
Yeah.
I plead
collateral damage there.
Yeah, right.
The 7-8-year-old boy.
Oh, shit, that's right.
That'll teach him.
Oh, damn. I tell you, it's all a big paradox, man.
There's a scene in the movie that you know, you remember Solotov, Irv Solotov, the translator for Baum? I don't know if you remember Irv Solotov. Anyway, he was at that meeting in Minneapolis.
Wait a minute. That's the one they called me from?
Yes.
Is that the one they called me from?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
You might have been on the phone there. You might have heard some of this, but it was hard to hear.
Yeah, but you're right.
He told the story. Okay, he escaped for about 2 days, and then he was captured, and there was a a major who's a real Nazi, and they went through his wallet. He'd thrown his dog tags away because he's Jewish. But in his wallet, he had a thing called a mezuzah. And the guy says, "You Jewish son of a bitch." And he's, "You're a goddamn Jew." And he said, "Sir, I'm an American soldier." And he punches him in the face as hard as he can. And he said, and he made him strip naked, and there was a little snow on the ground, evidently. So a few inches here and there. And he was standing there freezing, and he says, "Niggers and Jews," he said, "Untermensch, subhumans." He said, "Sir, I'm an American soldier." Pow! He punches him in the face again.
Wow.
This happened 3 or 4 times. And they said, have you heard what happens to Jews in Germany?" He said, "Well, I've heard rumors." He said, "Well, it's true." And he made out his, "I'll show you." He said, "If you were an American soldier, you could get a firing squad. But," he says, "for Jews," he said, "you get a hanging." And he made out the papers for hanging tonight. They took him to a small guardhouse, and he's sitting in there. He's locked in with a German guard, and he's all, you know, his head just swollen up like a balloon by now. It's just black and blue, and he's ready to die. And he feels in the corner there's a glass bottle, which is like a decanter for wine.
Yeah.
Cut glass, heavy glass.
Yeah.
The German guard is sitting there with his feet up on the desk, takes his helmet off, starts snoring, and you can guess what happened. He says he cut his head open like a ripe melon.
Wow.
And he climbs out the window.
Wow, good for him. It's so wicked bold.
How dramatic.
Well, it's better than dying.
How dramatic is that for a movie?
Yeah, nobody won't believe it.
That's a true story, and he told it for the first time there in Minneapolis.
The hell he did.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
There's some amazing shit in this movie, Bill.
I'll be a son of a bitch. Well, Jesus. I had a guy who was a sergeant and who was Jewish. And he was a radio guy. That's what he was supposed to do. He's a radio guy, you know, fix radios and that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And he could talk German.
Yeah.
Now this guy, as I say, he was a sergeant, and he could talk, and he was Jewish, and he could talk German, but he didn't want to. You know.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one time I said, "God damn it, I don't want to hear this shit. Now talk fucking German."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't want to.
You needed an interpreter, huh?
Yeah, well, I don't know where we were or what we were doing, yeah, but I wanted somebody to talk German. And I don't know if that was Baum's guy. Probably wasn't. But that's the only guy I remember could talk German, and he was Jewish. And he didn't want to.
I think I've heard of this guy, but Irv Solotoff couldn't fix radios. I know that much.
This guy was a radio. I got him. He was a radio guy.
Okay. Uh-huh.
No, I don't think that was Baum's guy.
Yeah.
But he's kind of, he parallels Baum's guy.
Was he on the raid, as far as you know?
He was supposed to be. I assume he was.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was in our company.
Hmm.
But, I don't know.
Do you remember a tank driver named Dunn? Sergeant Timothy Dunn, I think was his name.
Well, I had a Sergeant Dunn, that son of a bitch, was a force driver.
He was a what?
Force driver. What I call a
force driver. Okay.
Staff sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
Dunn.
And didn't you say he got a piece of his head shot off, in Camunden?
Oh, I don't know that. This guy Dunn was a son of a bitch, got drunk one time. And goddamn, he was drunk on his ass. And I had him pull his ass down out of the tank.
Really?
Oh, shit. I don't blame. Shit, he'd been wounded twice. Why not?
Uh-huh.
But he was absolutely out of it.
Well, a lot of guys drank in the tanks, didn't they?
Well, I did. I don't know about the rest of it.
Well, I mean...
We liberate that wine and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that officially forbidden that, or, I mean, but everybody... I've seen pictures of Cohen and Abrams passing a bottle around. I mean, I think it's understandable when you're in combat, a little alcohol will get your courage up, right?
Well, yeah, the goddamn kills they drunk about half the time.
Really?
Well, shit.
Nobody said anything, right? I mean, Baum or something like that. Would people hide it from their commanding officers, or was it pretty much open?
To answer that, here we are off all by ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The goddamn brass don't fuck with us because they don't want to get their hands shot off. Right? I mean, you mentioned Bob. Bob was a nice guy, but he'd come around, I'd tell him, go fuck himself.
Really?
You know? He's a guy, Bob, okay. Bob says, you know, go do so-and-so.
Uh-huh.
And you go do so-and-so, that means you're doing the fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the words. Fighting and words are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anybody say, you know, like a goddamn Cohen told me one time, just go down and keep going till you get stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cohen.
Yeah.
You know, the son of a bitch, it was a Jewish boy, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Who was supposed to lead that thing, but he crapped out because he had hemorrhoids.
Yes.
So they tell me, I don't know.
I've met the man. Yeah, I know him.
Oh, that's right. He
yeah.
Was, yeah, he was over there. And but anyway, the stupid shit says to me, who's just, you know, what am I, 23 years old, young shit, don't know shit, and don't want any part of this bullshit. And he says, just keep going till you get stopped. That's what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, he chewed my ass for being an elite tank. He said, get out of the tank now. You're not supposed to be an elite tank.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I looked at him and said, yeah, you son of a bitch, who the hell's going to make these bastards go if you don't get an elite tank? Which you had to do.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, they ain't gone. But anyway, he gives you that order about keep going till you get stopped. Well, you know how you get stopped? You get 88 up your ass. Which ain't very pleasant. Shit.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, the whole thing is crazy, Jim.
You guys did what you wanted to, is what you're telling me.
Well, that's why that Vietnam, when I started asking these guys that came back from Vietnam, and when I was practicing law, you know, I'd ask them, you know, what so-and-so. I'd say, wait a minute, you couldn't shoot unless they told you to shoot? Yeah. I'd say, well, fuck them. I'm going to shoot where I feel like shooting.
Uh-huh. You didn't wait for orders, huh?
Can you believe that shit?
No, I can't.
So, you know, our war was... You know, the shit going on today, Jim, it makes you want to throw up.
Yeah.
All these guys, you know, criticizing Abu Ghraib or whatever the hell they call that place.
Yeah.
They ain't a son of a bitch that's mouthing off that ever got shot at.
Yeah.
Because these people are trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Now, when somebody's trying to kill you, there's no rules.
Yeah.
You can take those rules and flush them.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's just idiotic. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
When people are trying to kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is.
No more Mr. Nice Guy, huh?
Oh, there's no rule. What are you talking about, rule?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, you saw the movie Butch Cassidy.
Yeah.
You remember when the mean guy was going to take the gang away from Butch?
Yeah.
And Butch rides up, you know, and his big-ass mean son of a bitch says, I'm going to do it. And Bush is going to have to fight him, and he holds up his hands and he says, wait a minute, we got to get the rules settled. And the mean guy says, rules, what rules? And Bush kicks him in the nuts. And the fight's over.
That's it.
That's exactly the way I see this Iraq crap.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, it's...
The only thing I'd be concerned about is you know, if they capture the American prisoners and they say, all bets are off, we can torture you,
mm-hmm.
you know, forget mm-hmm. the Geneva Convention,
mm-hmm.
then we have no protection, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They got all the rules.
Yeah.
And working for them, and we got nothing working for us.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like doing business with Al Capone. You know?
Yeah.
You gotta go get a search warrant while he's Tommy gunning your ass.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, the hell with that crap.
I mean,
we gonna fight or we gonna fight?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, could you imagine, like, say, the Revolutionary War?
We were the terrorists there.
Yeah, we were the insurgents, that's right.
Yeah.
And by God, it worked. You didn't go to Washington, did you?
To that memorial?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I'd like to see it sometime, but I wasn't going to go down there with all those people.
No, shit, I don't blame them. What
yeah.
the hell for?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people that, whatever.
I'm trying to get the screenplay done by the end of July, and it's a lot of work.
Oh,
but,
shit.
It's coming along beautifully.
Oh, great. That
yeah.
sounds good.
Yeah.
Listen, but, have you got a, what should I say, a buyer for the damn thing?
I do have some contacts in Hollywood.
Because, Jesus, you know, shit, the damn thing could just die on a vine if you don't have some.
Oh, yeah. You know, Bill, the truth for known, probably one out of 100 screenplays ever gets produced, so you know the odds are against you. But, on the other hand, this is the greatest fucking war story there's ever been. I mean, it's got everything. Right? We got Patton, we got Eisenhower, you know, is in this thing. They get drunk one night, Patton and Eisenhower, you know, and you know how sometimes when two people are having too much to drink and they start out in a friendly conversation and then it kind of turns ugly?
Wait a minute, run that by again. Where the hell did you get that from?
Because they had a big dinner one night and Ike was there.
Yeah.
And they stayed up talking till 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And Ike is wearing 5 stars.
Yeah.
They've known each other since 1919.
Exactly.
And Patton's, what, 10 years older?
Yeah.
Don't you think there's a little jealousy going on there?
Yeah.
So
there's definitely strong personalities, you're going to get conflict.
You're going to get some
no
funny
way.
Shit going on, right?
Right. No way.
So, see, people may not know that they had a very close relationship, and we want to show all this stuff, you know. It's going to be interesting.
Hell, you don't have to be too smart to understand that. They're both West Pointers.
Yeah.
They both served forever in the military. They knew each other going back to when, 1930? Yeah.
1919 at Camp Meade.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that?
But you've never seen them together in a movie before, right?
Only when Patton's in trouble and Eisenhower's chewing his ass or bailing him out.
That's right. That's true.
Oh, you got it. You got it. It's got to, you know. Anybody that lives as long as we have knows that personalities are personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And humans are humans, and they have their little idiosyncrasies and emotional defects and all that jealousies, as you say, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you bet.
There's a lot of suspense in this story, because when you start out, everybody knows that he really shouldn't be doing this raid at all, okay?
Absolutely.
And if it fails, he's going to get in hot water, okay? So this suspense starts building. You know, are they going to succeed? Are they not going to succeed? They get 5 hours behind, then they're 10 hours behind. You know what I mean? It's just all these detours and crazy shit happening along the way. And I just think it's a fabulous story.
I can't disagree with
you know?
That.
And then Waters, who to think Waters gets shot in the ass?
Oh, I know it. Oh,
I mean, how could you pray? You couldn't have written that.
Isn't that ironic?
It's so ironic.
He gets shot by, as I've heard, by some 19, 20-year-old fucking German kid.
Uh-huh.
Shoots his ass. Shoot him in the ass. Oh, Jesus. But, of course, that's history, man. That's ironic.
Yeah.
Well... goddamn. I was thinking after I played your tape, I can't help but thinking, you know, that fucking Patton, on a goddamn whim or whatever, and I looked down at my scars and I say, that son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's not right.
No, it's not right.
That is not right. If a military objective, well, then you think it's Patton. That kind of reminds me of all the politics shit going on today.
Mm-hmm.
If Patton says, well, we had all these American officers and I was afraid the Germans were going to cut their nuts off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So I said, that's bullshit. He sent us in there to get water.
Yep.
Fuck it.
Did you know that, going in?
Shit, no.
But
nobody
you figured it out?
Knew that.
No?
I didn't know that till 2 years later.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that till they put that article out in the,
The Post? Saturday Evening Post?
Yeah. They put that article out there, and where I was working, some guy starts calling me Patton's mistake. I said, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, but Baum knew it at the beginning of the raid.
No, I didn't. No way.
You don't think so?
Oh, shit, no. Hell, I was there when they sent us. No.
While you were waiting to go into that first town, you know, Schweinheim, apparently Stiller, Major Stiller, spilled the beans to him.
Well, I could, you know, I can't comment on that because that's what Spiller told Baum. Possible.
Yeah.
That's possible.
But I tell you, very few people knew. You know, he certainly wouldn't have told you.
Oh, shit, I was nothing.
You're one of his leaders, but...
They didn't tell me shit. Yeah, the son of a bitch needed me. He needed me more than anybody else.
Yeah, he did.
For the big boys. That's what we call the tanks, big boys. he ain't got the big boys, he ain't got shit.
Yeah.
And I'm the big boy.
You're the leader of the big boys.
Yeah, but I'm fucking out of it. They don't know that I'm out of it. I didn't know it myself. Shit, I didn't know, but I was looking back, I can remember that night, shit, fucking all night long. Shit, I just wore out, that's all.
I was just back there, you know, about a month ago, and I was there on that hill in Schweinheim, you know, and just, I retraced the whole damn thing with Peter Dohms for the third time.
Oh, the German?
Yeah.
That fucking crowd?
I got two fucking crowds helping me write the screenplay.
Well, my dad's 100% German, so what the hell?
But they're good. They know their stuff. And
you bet.
Yeah.
They no dummies, them crowds. They're no dummies.
Yeah.
In fact, I kind of like them.
Yeah, I do too.
They son of a bitches. I always said, any war from here on, I want to be on their side.
Me too.
Shit, sign them up, boy. We fight them Japs or them Chinese or whatever.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Eddie, what hill are you talking about?
Well, you know,
when you go across
that railroad bridge, and then there's this kind of a hill there that's called the Bischberg, where you're sort of camped out for 2 days getting ready to launch the raid.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember being on that.
There's a bunch of orchards and everything.
I just remember being on high ground, but it wasn't 2 days. Hell, we just pulled in there.
Okay.
And then
yeah, high ground. Yeah, you could overlook Aschaffenburg, maybe. Yeah?
No. Oh, you may be right, because...
Well, if you go all the way up to the top, you could.
Me and B Company, they told us to go in Aschaffenburg.
Yeah.
It's me and B Company.
Yeah?
And I got like 10 tanks, and B Company's got 6, 7, 8, I don't know. So we're going in Aschaffenburg, right?
Okay.
And then we start getting this shit. And B Company commander, who is more savvy than me because he's been around longer.
Was it Pancake?
I don't know. I can't. It probably was. And he said, hey, this looks like bullshit to me. Let's pull up here and hold off. So I said, okay. Then he says, we'll call him back and tell him we're getting too much fire, we can't go. And I said, that's okay with me, you know?
Were you on the west side of the river?
Oh, shit. I can't answer that.
Okay.
Because my geography over there is all screwed up.
Okay.
I never knew what direction I was going in.
Yeah, that's okay.
But anyway, you may be right. We may have been there for more than a day.
Well, some people were there for more than... for two nights, maybe, but maybe not you, you know.
Yeah, I really do remember.
Maybe it was just a day. You know, you might be totally right on that. I think we captured the railroad bridge on the 25th, and...
Shit, that would be that day before, yeah.
And then you took off on the 26th.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
But I remember, let me see. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, shit, that was, goddamn. That must have been the night of the 25th that they called me down there, and then they told me, you're going.
Uh-huh.
That must have been the night of the 25th, because we jumped off, then it became the 26th, and we went all that day, and got to Hamburg about 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
On the 26th. Then we tried to get the hell out of there, and about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, I got shot, which had been the 27th. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Goddamn, I was 2 days of that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Well, Bill, I really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you so much for calling. I'm going to have to go to the laboratory today and make an appearance.
In whatever small way, if I can do anything to help you sell that fucking thing or produce it, whatever, you know.
You know anybody in Hollywood?
No, that's what I say, in any small way, if, you know, by signing papers or affidavits or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If this movie gets made, we're going to have a live interview with you. That's for sure.
You better hurry up.
Well, it's the same with all the veterans.
Yeah, I know.
And Baum, everybody.
That's right.
We're doing the best we can, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I know, Jim. So long.
Just have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.